Blog Talk Radio.
And praise the Lord, everybody. This is Apostle Dr. Deborah Dean, the End Time Men and Women of War Global Ministries, along with the Life Support Outreach Church and our prayer room ministry. So delighted to be back on our live broadcast on our faith, on our Blog Talk radio broadcast for the study of the Word of God today. This evening, I just give God all the praise and the glory, all the honor on tonight. Hallelujah. I'm going to get ready to start. I don't know how many will be on tonight because of the things that need to be done or had to be done on today. But I just give God all the praise and all the glory on tonight. I magnify his holy name. Hallelujah. I'm going to get ready to read a scripture. We're going to have a song and a prayer. Scripture reading will be coming from Psalms 41. Blessed is he that considereth the poor. The Lord will deliver him in the time of trouble. The Lord will preserve him and keep him alive. And he shall be blessed upon the earth. And thou wilt not deliver unto the will of the enemy. The Lord will strengthen him upon the bed of languishing. Thou wilt make all his bed in his sickness. I said, Lord, be merciful unto me. Heal my soul, for I have sinned against thee. My enemies speak evil of me. When shall he die and his name perish? And if he come to see me, he speaketh vanity, his heart gathering iniquity to itself. When he goeth abroad, he telleth it. All that hate me whisper together against me. Against me do they devise my hurt. An evil disease, say they, cleaveth fast unto him. And now he lieth. He shall rise up no more. Yea, my own familiar friends in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, have lifted up his heel against me. But thou, O Lord, be merciful unto me and raise me up that I may requite them. By this I know that thou favorest me, because my enemy doeth not triumph over me. And as for me, that upholdeth me in my integrity and setteth me before thy face forever. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting. Amen, amen. We're going to just have one song.
Fight this battle for me.
that you have won again. You won. You have won. Thank you. You did it again.
Yeah.
You have won again.
You broke me up so many times. Over and over and over again.
Praise the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we come humbly before your throne of grace on tonight, asking you to forgive us for every known and unknown sin, Father, that we've committed against you in the mighty name of Jesus. We just come asking you right now to forgive us for every known and unknown sin that we've committed against you in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we just thank you right now, hallelujah, for just being in the midst tonight. I'm asking you to let death decrease, that the Holy Ghost may increase and minister to us on tonight, God. I'm asking you to move by your glory, by your power, hallelujah. We thank you right now for everyone that's on the sound of my voice, God. I'm asking you on tonight to move by your power, Father. Just move on tonight, Lord, by your holy power. I'm asking you right now to open up our understanding, open up our hearts. Let us receive your word just like you give it to us, just like it's in the word of God. Lord, I just thank you on tonight. I praise you. I just let me decrease. You take over, God. Just let me decrease, that you may increase and minister to us on tonight. Move by your power. Move by your glory. I ask all of these things in Jesus' name and for your glory. Amen, amen, amen. So let it be. I'm just going to get started reading. We're on chapter 13 and 14 tonight because I canceled it Tuesday night because I was not feeling well. So we'll do 13 and 14 tonight. In the 3 and 20th year of Joash, the son of Ahaziah, king of Judah, Jehoahaz, the son of Jehu, began to reign over Israel and Samaria and reigned 17 years. He did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord and followed the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, which made Israel to sin. He departed not, therefore, and the anger of the Lord was kindled. Let me get this thing. The anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. He delivered them into the hands of Hazael, king of Syria, and into the hands of Ben-Hadad, the son of Hazael, all their days. Jehoahaz besought the Lord, and the Lord hearkened unto him, for he saw the oppression of Israel because the king of Syria oppressed them. And the Lord gave Israel a savior so that they went out from under the hands of the Syrians, and the children of Israel dwelt in their tents as before time. Nevertheless, they departed not from the sins of the house of Jeroboam, who made Israel sin, but walked therein, and there remained the grove also in Samaria. Neither did he leave of the people to Jehoahaz, but 50 horsemen and 10 chariots and 10,000 footmen, for the king of Syria had destroyed them and had made them like the dust by threshing. Now the rest of the acts of Jehoahaz and all that he did and his might, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the king of Israel? And Jehoahaz slept with the fathers, with his fathers. They buried him in Samaria, and Joash, his son, reigned in his stead. In the 37th year of Joash, king of Judah, began Joash, the son of Jehoahaz, to reign over Israel in Samaria, and reigned 16 years, and he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. Parted not from all the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel sin, but he walked therein. And the rest of the acts of Joash and all that he did and his might wherewith he fought against Amaziah, king of Judah, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel? And Joash slept with his fathers, and Jeroboam, set upon his throne. And Joash was buried in Samaria and with the kings of Israel. Now Elisha was fallen sick of his sickness wherewith he died. And Joash, the king of Israel, came down unto him and wept over his face and said, O my father, and the chariots of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And Elisha said unto him, take bow and arrows. And he took unto him bow and arrows. And he said to the king of Israel, put thy hand upon the bow. And he put his hand up on it. And Elisha put his hands upon the king's hand, and he said, open the windows eastward. And he opened it. Then Elisha said, shoot. And he shot. And he said, the arrow of the Lord's deliverance, and the arrow of the deliverance from Syria. For thou shalt smite the Syrians ASAP, till thou have consumed them. And he said, take the arrow. And he took the arrow, and he said unto the king of Israel, smite upon the ground. And he smote upon the ground thrice and stayed. And the man of God was wroth with him and said, thou shouldest have smitten 5 or 6 times. Then hast thou smitten Syria till thou hast consumed it, whereas now thou shalt smite Syrian but thrice. And Elisha died, and they buried him in the bands of the Moabites, invaded the lands at the coming of the year. And it came to pass, as they were burying a man, that, behold, they spied a band of men, and they cast the man into the sculpture of Elisha. And when the man was let down and touched the bones of Elisha, he revived and stood up on his feet. But Hazael, king of Syria, oppressed Israel all the days of Jehoahaz, that's what that is. And the Lord was gracious unto them and had compassion on them and had respect unto them because of the covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and would not destroy them, neither cast he them from his presence as yet. So Hazael, king of Syria, died, and Ben-Hadad, his son, reigned in his stead. And Jehoash, the son of Jehoahaz, took again out of the hand of Ben-Hadad, the son of Hazael, the cities which he had taken out of the hand of Jehoahaz, his father, by war. 3 times did Joash beat him and recovered the cities of Israel. Chapter 14. In the second year of Joash, son of Jehoahaz, king of Israel, reigned Amaziah, the son of Joash, king of Judah. He was 25 years old when he had began to reign, and reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jehoaddan of Jerusalem. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, yet not like David, his father. He did according to all things as Joash, his father, did. Howbeit, the high place were not taken away, as yet the people did sacrifice and burnt incense on the high place. And it came to pass, as soon as the kingdom was confirmed in his hand, that he slew his servant, which had slain the king, his father. But the children of the murderers he slew not, according unto that which is written in the book of the laws of Moses, wherein the Lord commanded, saying, the father shall not be put to death for the children, nor the children be put to death for the fathers, but every man shall be put to death for his own sin. He slew of Edom in the valley of Salt 10,000, and took Selah by war, and called the name of it Jokpin unto the day. Then Amaziah sent messengers to Jehoash, the son of Jehoahaz, son of Jehu, king of Israel, saying, come, let us look one another in the face. And Jehoahaz, the king of Israel, sent to Amaziah, king of Judah, saying, the thistle that was in Lebanon sent to the cedar that was in Lebanon, saying, give thy daughter to my son to wife. There passed by a wild beast that was in Lebanon and trod down the thistle. Thou hast indeed smitten Eden, and thine heart have lifted thee up glory of this, and tarry at home. For why shouldest thou meddle to thy hurt, that thou shouldest fall, even thou and Judah with thee? But Amaziah was not here. Therefore Jehoash, king of Israel, went up, and he and Amaziah, king of Judah, looked one another in the face, at Beth Shemesh, which belonged to Judah. And Judah was put to the worst before Israel, and they fled every man to their tent. And Jehoaz, king of Israel, took Amaziah, king of Judah, the son of Joash, the son of Ahaziah, at Beth Shemesh, and came to Jerusalem and break down the wall of Jerusalem from the gate of Ephraim unto the corner gate, 400 cubits. And he took all the gold and silver and all the vessels that were found in the house of the Lord and in the treasures of the king's house and hostage and returned to Samaria. Now the rest of the acts of Jehoash, which he did, and his might, and how he fought with Amaziah, king of Judah, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the king of Israel? And Jehoash slept with his fathers and was buried in Samaria with the kings of Israel. And Jeroboam, his son, reigned in his stead. And Amaziah, the son of Joash, king of Judah, lived after the death of Jehoash, son of Jehoahaz, king of Israel, 15 years. And the rest of the acts of Amaziah, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? Now they made a conspiracy against him in Jerusalem, and he fled to Lachish, but they sent after him to Lachish and slew him there, and they brought him one horse, and he was buried in Jerusalem. Salem with his father in the city of David, and all the people of Judah took Ahaziah, which was 16 years old, and made him king instead of his father Amaziah. He built Elath and restored it to Judah. After that, the king slept with his fathers. In the 15th year of Amaziah, the son of Joash, king of Judah, Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel, began to reign in Samaria and reigned 41 years. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. He departed not from all the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin. He restored the coast of Israel from the entering of Hamath unto the sea of the plain, according to the word of the Lord God of Israel, which he spake by the hand of his servant Jonah, the son of Amittai, the prophet, which was of Gath Hepher. For the Lord saw the affliction of Israel, that it was very bitter, for there was not any shut up, nor any left, nor any helper for Israel. And the Lord said not that he would blot out the name of Israel from under heaven, but he saved them by the hand of Jeroboam, the son of Joash. Now the rest of the acts of Jeroboam, and all that he did, and his might, how he warred, and how he recovered Damascus in Hamath, which belonged to Judah for Israel, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel? And Jeroboam slept with his fathers, even with the kings of Israel, and Zechariah, his son, reigned in his stead. Amen. Let's answer these questions. That was like it was almost like it was a struggle to even read these, but it kind of was confusing to me because I've read this stuff and I've done it, and so we should have finished it last week. But the first question is, and I know y'all ain't had time to do this, but I answer them. I did it. What did the arrow represent that Elijah told Joash to shoot through the window? What did it represent? and it's over in the in verse. I think it's verse 1 about the arrow. Wait a minute, I'm in the wrong chapter anyway. Chapter 13.
Chapter 13.
Where he told 2 Kings. When it was 2 Kings. Let's see. Anyway, it represented the Lord's deliverance. I had already studied this stuff 2 days ago. Who was texting me? Wait a minute. The chapters is 2 Kings, chapter 13 and chapter 14, everybody. It's 2 Kings, chapter 13 and 14. And it was asking about the arrow. What did the arrow represent that Elijah told Joash to shoot through the window? And I know what it represented. I'm trying to find the verse.
That's verse 17 to 18.
Okay. All right. You're right. It's 14. You're right. And, yep, the arrow represented the Lord's deliverance from the Syrians is what it represented. When he told him to shoot, Elijah told Joash to shoot that arrow. Okay, what did striking the ground with the arrow do? See, and that's between the same thing, 18, between 14 and 18, because to me, the amount of times he hit that ground was going to be the amount of times that they defeated Syria. But he didn't hit it but 3 times. They hit it thrice. He should have, Elijah was upset. He was wroth with him, he said, because he should have hit that ground at least 6 times, and they would have been able to take the Syrians out. But he just hit it 3 times, and he wasn't sure that that would be enough times to take them out. And he just hit it 3 times. After Elijah died, what happened to the body of men who were thrown in the tomb of Elijah? That's in 21, verse 21. What happened to them? Y'all can just imagine, because this was a holy man of God. He still had power in his bones. He still was anointed. So when they threw them men in there trying to kill him, they came back to life. Because they touch Elijah's bones, do you hear me?
Mm-hmm.
That's in verse 21. They threw them down there in the grave with Elijah's bones, baby. They stood up.
Apostle, can I interject?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Blessing. This is, I love this story. Elijah is one of my favorite, Elijah really, and Samuel are one of my favorite prophets, especially being major and dealing with the major prophets. Well, they're all major, but the Bible calls them minor prophets because they had smaller books. That's the reason why, you know, smaller stories that they wouldn't capture. You know, these men of God and women of God, they did a lot of great things. But this also reminds me, when the Bible said that the body of Moses was as a younger man, and the Bible says that when he was transfigured, now you got to realize why his body was holy. And his body was holy because he got a chance to see the glory of God leave with Elijah. And when Elijah dropped the mantle, it was already holy. He just had a double portion of that anointing. So the reason why I'm saying it is because Moses' body was still holy. You see what I'm saying? And so the Bible says that the angel of the Lord, Michael, came down and fought for the body of Moses. He had to fight Satan for the body because it was so holy.
Oh, I didn't know that.
The angel, the archangel, if you read, I believe it's in the book of Acts, but that that's why Moses, the Bible says that Moses and Elijah, only they say Elias, but it's Elijah that's coming back. That's because their body is more holy. They're besides, you know, Enoch. But Enoch died. But they said that their body were glorified. So I said that God did come down and take Eli. I mean, not Eli.
Enoch.
Not the prophet. Enoch. Thank you. But what I'm saying is that we have so many men and women of God now that's in the grave that their bodies are holy. They're holy.
Absolutely.
That means they had to heal. They were televised. Some of them were televised evangelists. Some of them were just hitting Jews in the earth that can heal people to get up out of the grave, you know. And the thing is that this thing is still happening today because the body, Satan didn't need Elisha body. Even though if he would have came back, because the Bible said that right there, if you read it, that the body began to speak life back into them. So every time he was touched, he would jolt, and he would speak life. And this is why that is so important, because the Bible says, now, you got to read this to understand it, because if Moses' body was so holy, the Bible said he had a body of a young man. Now, I don't know if y'all ever read this before, and if I'm going ahead of myself, please slow me down. You know me. I get excited. I love to teach this thing, but I love to listen to it too. So the Bible says this. Now, I don't know if y'all ever put this into perspective. Now, do y'all know why Moses' body was so holy and why Elijah's body was holy, Apostle? Have anybody ever thought about that? What took place? Because now you're about to find, okay, this is how you have apostolic succession, okay? This is why Joshua became. But the reason why Joshua's body wasn't holy is because Moses never touched him. Moses didn't come back. You know what I'm saying? He was taken on the mountain. The Bible said that they hid his body in the mountain. Okay? The eighth peck is the highest point. You can't even breathe on the highest peck of the mountain.
No.
Eighth peck is the highest place on the mountain. It's called the summit. It's called the summit. You ever heard anybody do conferences, but they call it the summit? Because it's the highest level that you can ever reach, because then you're in the heavens. You're in the heavens because you can barely breathe. Okay, so what happened was, and that, I don't want to take it. I want to show a scripture, but I don't want to seem like I'm taking over, Apostle. I really don't want to do that. Can I just one scripture, if you don't mind? Okay, well, turn with me. All right, Lord Jesus, help me where I'm going with this. Okay, you remember on the mountain of transfiguration with Jesus? Okay, all right, who appeared on that mountain? The Bible said Moses and Elias. Jesus was also transfigured that same day. Okay, so what I'm trying to tell you is, Jesus is universal. Jesus is time. He's timeless. Now, I'm going to have to show you. You remember when the first one was Moses? Y'all remember when Moses went up to the mountain and then he said, Lord, the Lord told him, I'm going to hide you between the cleft of the rock, and I'm going to pass by you, and I'm allow you to see my
mm-hmm.
side. Y'all remember that?
That's right. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Now,
yep.
He's on the same mountain of transfiguration. He's just on a lower level. Jesus is on the highest level of the mountain. Moses
mm-hmm.
is in the middle of the mountain. Who God? And then when you go to the book, when you talk about Elijah, that's First Kings, you begin to see that
mm-hmm.
Elijah was in the cave of the same mountain.
Mm.
Y'all see that?
Come on. Yeah, come on.
So in other words, what I'm saying is they all was on time collapse at that time. And three different generations. Because Jesus was supposed to be in the Old Testament. Jesus was supposed to be in the New Testament. But what
mm-hmm.
Jesus did was he aligned time. And what we call quantum leap, he began to leap into time, into space, into quantum all at once. So when they appeared unto Jesus, in reality, Jesus appeared unto them
mm.
on the same mountain at the same time, just at in the in the old and the present and in the new. So Jesus was in the new while Elijah was in the present. And Moses was in the old. So it stood for three
mm-hmm.
different types of prophecy. That means we're prophesying from the old, we're prophesying from the present, and we're prophesying from the new.
The future, yeah. Mm-hmm.
You see that? That was a prophetic
mm-hmm.
perspective. And then guess
mm-hmm.
what? They all were transfigured all at once.
Mm. That's something.
Ain't that powerful?
Mm-hmm.
So when Elijah came in, oh, Shamande, he had a double portion of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I'm done. I'm going to let it go. I'm sorry. That's a three hands apostle. But that's what made it. That's why. His body was still glorified because
yeah.
he had a double portion of Jesus.
Yeah, you're talking about Elisha?
Elisha, yeah.
You say
that's why he kept anybody mm-hmm. touch them, they'll come back. See, because
mm-hmm.
if Moses,
mm-hmm.
that's why the Bible says that the angel of the Lord had to come back. I don't want to just say it. I'm going to read it to you because I don't want nobody just saying that, you're talking off the side of your neck. And I'm not. I'm going to read it to you, okay? That's in the book of okay, that's in the book of Jude 1 and 9.
Mm-hmm.
Jude 1 and 9. And this is what it
mm-hmm.
reads. And it says, yet Michael the archangel, when contended with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses. Look at that. Durst
mm-hmm.
not bring against him a railing. Y'all see that?
Yeah.
But said the Lord rebuked him. In other words, he fought for the body of Moses. For Satan, because
mm-hmm.
Satan, the reason why Satan wanted the body of Moses is because Moses' body could have been a god to the people, which means Moses
mm-hmm.
didn't know that he had the ability to go and to ascend into heaven and to come back. Y'all don't
mm.
y'all see that? That's
yeah.
right, because that's all Satan needs. Satan just needs. An angelic being needs a body to operate in the earth and also in heaven.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm. So Moses' body mm-hmm. could have been coming up, and God couldn't have did anything because he made his body holy. So that means that he would have had access to God at all Remember, the Bible says, and the sons of God came to pray before the Lord, and Satan came too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because he was operating in a body. With James and Marine to be near the throne of God again. Where you come from?
Right.
I come to and fro, seek who I may devour. That means somebody didn't have the right spirit in them that the devil was able to just to operate into them. I'm gonna shut up. I'm sorry, Apostle. I relinquish my time.
But angels have bodies. But the demons don't have bodies. They have to get a body. Yeah, they have to get a body. But that's good. But we gonna answer these four questions in chapter 14 because we don't want to do this Tuesday. Was Amaziah a righteous king in chapter 14? Was Amaziah a righteous king? And he wasn't like David, but he was. But those high places, and I don't really know what high places are, but I do know the Edomites and those people used to stay up high where other tribes and things couldn't get to them. And they used to fight the Israel to stay up there. So, and they used to do all kind of crafts or whatever they did up there, was worshiping idol gods up in those high places too. And Amaziah didn't make them bring that stuff down and tear that stuff down. Some of those kings did, but he didn't. But he wasn't doing evil in the sight of God. He just didn't go up there and get those down. So, overall, he was a righteous king, except just for that. Verse 2, what happened to Amaziah when he became boastful against Israel? What happened to him? And he was boastful, but he was defeated against Israel. That's somewhere, because I look for it.
You said Azaria?
Amaziah, or something like that. He was real boastful and prideful against Israel, but he died. He ended up dying in verse 19. But before then, it's right up in there. Amaziah, the son of Joash, king of Judah, lived after the death of Jehoash, son of Jehoahaz, king of Israel. But I thought somebody killed him over here. I've been reading. I'm backwards on it now because we didn't have Bible class Tuesday. But anyway, I know that he was boastful. I do know that. But he was defeated. And then and he died over in verse 19, I think, or 14.
Yeah, he died in 19. He
was formed against them. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He was killed. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then what happened to what prophet prophesied that Israel would restore its territory? That should be in verse 25. What prophet? I wonder what prophet was that. He restored the coast of Israel from entering of Hamath unto the Sea of the Plain, according to the words of the Lord God of Israel, which he spoke by the hands of his servant Jonah. Mm-hmm. Jonah, the son of Amittai, the prophet. No, it was Amittai. Amittai, the prophet, which was of Gath, Hefer. Mm-hmm. That was the prophet. Mm-hmm. So it was the Lord still spoke through Jonah. He spoke through Jonah. I always felt that Jonah was and then probably not the same Jonah, but he was a prophet. Mm-hmm. So they were all this because it seemed. Mm-hmm.
Yes, ma'am. No, I agree. But the problem was Jonah. It's funny how we are prophets, and God allow you to see something. So what Jonah? The reason why Jonah didn't want to go is because the people killed people of Jonah's people. So Jonah didn't want to go because they were a nasty, perverted people. But then a few years later, even after the word of Jonah, Jonah also knew that these people could not change. He's like, God, why would you change these folks? And they're going to still come after us. They're still doing dirt.
Mm-hmm.
Because guess what? That was a part of the prophecy. So Jonah also saw a prophecy that he could not reveal at the time. Because a few years after that, Jonah said that, they came and they destroyed Jonah's city again. So sometimes we get upset with God because you know these people ain't going to go right, but you still want me to bless them.
Right.
I know you're laughing. Yeah.
Right. You know
my
what I'm talking about.
Yeah. For me. Yes. Ah, God, Lord Jesus, I love your word.
But
that unmerited favor. You don't deserve it, but I'm gonna give it to you anyhow. Yeah, that's something. They came back and destroyed it.
Okay. No, I didn't.
It was in the town of Galilee.
Right. Let's see. I got people texting me and stuff. Yeah, I did. Okay. Mhm. Yes, I did. So, but this was good. Does anyone have any questions? Because a bishop is right there. He can answer. Any questions, anybody? Okay. If you didn't have any questions, it's okay. But I really enjoyed Bishop tonight because he was the teacher. God was working through him tonight. But I thank and praise God for you all coming on. I could not have it this time because we would really be behind. But we are behind 3 chapters. So we'll make them up on Tuesday when we come back in. We're going to do those 3 chapters. 15, 16, and 17. That's all I can say. And next Thursday, I will not be in town, so we won't have Bible class at all. But we will have prayer. We will have prayer Friday morning. I will be on the prayer on the live broadcast, and then I'll do the revival. I'll preach that night, but we are going to have prayer Friday morning. So anyway, we're going to get ready to close out. Bishop, you want to close us out since you didn't taught everything tonight?
Next time, if when I come on, I won't say nothing, okay? I'll just shut my mouth, and I'll keep it to myself. No, I thank you. Apostle, please excuse me. I do apologize if I overstep my boundaries.
No, you're good.
Love to get involved when it's pertaining to the Word of God. But no, I really don't have anything to say. And please, by all means, you can close us out. I'm just humbled to be on.
No, you're good. I'm just telling you, good. But
amen.
We enjoyed everything. Right.
Amen.
We enjoyed everything. Okay, you had something to say? Prophetess McKinney?
No, ma'am. I'm just agreeing with you that I really enjoy the teaching.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did too.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. To God be the glory. God be the glory.
Okay.
Like I said, I just get excited. The Word of God is just so rich.
Mm-hmm.
Full of its pleasure.
Yeah, let's do it. What about you, Prophet Sally? Are you on?
Yes, ma'am. I am here. I do apologize. I have been listening, but we are moving. Yes, ma'am. But the word was very rich on tonight, and such a blessing. I praise God for being here.
Amen. I just thank you all for coming on, too, because you know, I know everybody doing something, and Prophetess Nelson couldn't be on. I don't know where they are, so y'all keep her and her husband in your prayers because I don't know where they are. They supposed to have gotten back with me, but she didn't. They was at a hotel room last night, so I don't know where they are today. But she's usually on here as well. But anyway, we're going to get ready to close out. Father, we just thank you for your word, God. We thank you for opening up our understanding on tonight. We thank you for the teacher, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. We ask you to cover everyone and bless them under the sound of my voice, Father. Thank you, thank you, thank you for that word, God. We just ask that you would bless each and every one of us and our families, keep us covered, God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we give you praise for everything, Lord. We don't forget you for nothing. We just thank you now. We ask all these things and blessings in Jesus' name and for your glory, God. Amen, amen, amen. So let it be. So we'll be back here Tuesday, and we'll do the three tablets on Thursday. I won't be here. But Friday morning, I will. This is next week now. I'll be on Friday in the morning, you know, on the live broadcast. I'm just trying to, so I won't forget to let you all know that I'll be gone next week. I'll be gone. And then I'll be on the live on Friday morning. I might be on, and I'll be on Wednesday morning. I'll be on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So, anyway, God bless y'all. Y'all have a good night. Y'all have a good night. I love y'all, too.
Good night. Love you. Love you guys.
All right. All right. Good night.